Okay. We will not be reading from the book tonight, so we will take a few moments to be quiet together before we continue. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. I've asked Chris to give the subject on the screen tonight as the movement continues. We're going to take some time. Talking about we'll say the practical aspects of what I've been teaching for a number of years, which is inseparable from A Course in Miracles. I've mentioned that as you engage in the two-step, as you shut up your thinking and become still and ask, Father, what is the truth here? Or you ask of the Holy Spirit, what do I need to know? What you are going to learn as a result of what you hear is going to change you. You are going to learn how to reflect God. You're going to learn how to express knowing that comes as a result of listening to the Father or listening to the Holy Spirit, who will relay to you what the Father is meaning or saying. And you're going to learn, as Paul is slowly learning, that the new way of being, I mean by that reflecting the Father's will, reflecting God, is not going to feel familiar initially. And it's going to require practice, if I may put it that way, at speaking the knowing that is supplied to you so that you can get the feel for who you divinely are. And having that new self-experience revealed to you, you will begin to recognize it, begin to feel at home with it, and you will be willing, with less and less reluctance, to express it. Now, in a way, tonight is an exercise for Paul. He has a general idea what we're going to be talking about, because I started this afternoon to dictate what we've been calling an update letter. And in it, there are things that, when he's listening to his knowing, he would say. But at this moment, he's not comfortable with it. He's fine with my expressing it. He's fine in relaying what is actually his knowing as well. He's comfortable with my relaying that and not having to own it yet. But in the process, which he engages in every Saturday night when he lets me speak, he becomes more and more comfortable and has a better idea of what it means to reflect God, what it means to let the Holy Spirit speak, to govern oneself according to the directions of the Holy Spirit, which is really nothing more than your sane mind, your right mind, your whole mind, which you've dissociated yourself from. And so I'm going to begin by reading what I dictated this afternoon, and we'll use it as the starting point. Good news. On August 16th, closing on the new property has been scheduled to take place, and the move will begin. An incredible expression of love and unity from everyone, in many forms, has made it possible. But at this point, it is my task to keep attention on completion of the movement, so that the full meaning of fulfillment is not lost in premature abandonment of the miracle, and so that the joy of unity may continue. There has been a lot of joy. There's been a lot of felt camaraderie amongst everyone who has been involved. As I said before, even though you haven't met each other, that's a joyful experience. And as I've said before, it's one that everyone needs to have more consistently. It's important for the joy to continue. Now, what does this mean, premature abandonment of the miracle? Well, I continued and said, for example, it could seem quite reasonable to believe that the purchase of a $710,000 property in 10 weeks, without any initial means of doing so, is enough of a miracle to last anyone a lifetime, even though it doesn't represent the complete vision. It might be easy to say, wow, who needs more than this? Everybody can relax. It's not necessary to be attentive anymore. It's not necessary to be in the position of experiencing a sudden shift of perception called a miracle. The miracle that has happened is sufficient. Well, I continued, indeed, most everyone, in one way or another, diminishes his experience of wholeness by claiming that good already received is such an example of God's love that more is unnecessary. The prayer of a bedridden person, one not yet having received his good, might even be, you know, if I could simply sit up and get around in a wheelchair, I would never ask for another thing. You know, when you get in that place called the holy instant, where God's laws prevail, this just won't work anymore. you will find your guidance. You will find the Holy Spirit counseling you to insist on going the distance the Father would take you. In other words, all the way to holiness. Wholeness. Now this is very pertinent because many of you have healings, have life-changing revelations, and they cause incredible improvements to occur. But not improvements that take you all the way to perfection. In other words, perhaps if you were bedridden, you're no longer bedridden and you are able to enjoy getting around in a wheelchair. But you know what? You're not able to walk. You're not able to drive. You're not able to swim. You're not able to dance. So wholeness hasn't been arrived at yet. And it is not necessary for you to settle for half a healing, even though half a healing puts you way ahead of where you were before and causes great joy to fill you perpetually. Now, what I'm saying tonight is a way I'm using to teach Paul something. And it has transfer value for everyone else. Because all of you, in one way or another, do exactly what I've just described. You know, Paul looks at what has happened, and it's mind-boggling. It is amazing. It causes him to feel greatly loved, greatly supported. But there's an element of unreasonability to it. It just isn't reasonable for this to have occurred. Although it evokes great gratitude, and it is going to mean more grace in carrying on the activities of the work for both him and Susan and Chris and Judy. But he knows that what has happened, the obtaining of the property, is not all of it. It wasn't all that I described in the beginning. You know, there's a hymn that Paul grew up with that began, "What is thy birthright, man, child of the perfect one? What is thy father's plan for his beloved son?" Of course, that's the key. What is thy father's plan? Not what is my plan, what is your plan, but what is your father's plan. That's what you learn when you practice the two-step and you say, "Father, what is the truth here? Father, what do I need to know here?" The only stumbling block any of you have in the process of awakening or in the process of experiencing healing and the evidence of your good is that you find it impossible to yield to your father's plan. When that is your only function, when that only function you have practiced or engaged in will cause you to awaken, will cause you to snap back into your right mind. Many from a metaphysical background have learned to visualize as a means of bringing about some good or effecting a healing. But the key here is where I said, you will find your guidance, you will find the Holy Spirit counseling you to insist on going the distance the Father would take you, not the distance your plans will take you, not the distance your best ideas will take you, not the distance your great skill at manipulating others can take you. No. Insist on going the distance the Father would take you. How do you find out where the Father would take you and how far? By silencing human will, by silencing your great investment of faith in your thinking and saying, Father, what is the truth here? What do I need to know? What is your will for me? Where does my fulfillment lie? Help me to share and have your perspective. Well, when that happens, you're going to behave in a new way. Not a new way that can be written down and practiced by rote in the future, but a way that is revealed to you in the moment that you're asking to know what the truth is here. And so, going the distance that God would take you is a matter of forever saying, Father, what is your perspective? And eventually, even ceasing to ask the question because you yourself are bringing your attention to the Father, because you have no desire to know anything other than what he is revealing. So you know what? You can't watch what Paul is doing or listen to what Paul is saying and write it down and then practice it as though in a copycat form you can arrive at knowing the truth, experiencing the Father's perspective, having the Father's plan for his beloved Son revealed to you so that you might flow in expression of it without inhibition, without resistance. Now, because Paul feels that so much has been given, and because he feels, and I will tell you he's assuming, because he feels that many who gave have given perhaps more than they had to give, he feels that there was an inequity, perhaps, something he would wish not to have happened. But you see, he has himself as a pissant little mortal, an orphan in the orphanage, looking at the effects he thinks maybe he's having on the other orphans, deplete them, or put them at a disadvantage. and he's missing the vision he would see if he would do the two-step now and say, Father, what is the truth here? And of course, right now, he is doing the two-step, and he is asking, Father, what is the truth here? And the truth is coming out of his mouth right now. And the truth is that in all of the love that was expressed, whether it was a few dollars or a lot of them, whether it was given out of a little that was had, or whether it was given out of a lot, out of great wealth, it was all God. It was all love. And there weren't any little pissant mortal orphans doing it. You see, what he's hearing as I say this is that we're elevating everyone in the human condition into their divine stature and expressing and seeing the truth about them, honoring them. Not a single one who is given deserves anything less than honoring. The greatest honoring. The acknowledgement and recognition that the sons and daughters of God expressed their love. Now, when Paul gets into this frame of mind, in fact, when any of you get into this pissant little poverty-stricken frame of mind, you find it difficult to consider wholeness as being your birthright. You find it difficult to embrace it. You find justifications for not embracing it. You're not worthy of it. Oh, you're worthy of some, but not too much. And if you get too much, then you've had enough. You've had enough. But you see, if you're listening to the Father, if you are asking to know the truth, the Father or the Holy Spirit or your guide will reveal to you the necessity of following through to wholeness, following through to the complete experience of what your Father's plan is for you. And that may stretch you and may make you uncomfortable, but that's just the pissant little mortal orphan who's uncomfortable. And that's just a set of habits, mental and emotional habits, that practicing the holy instant will break you of. It's a habit that will be broken by the persistence, the loving persistence of your guidance or of the Holy Spirit, or of me, or of the Father. Now, we're at this marvelous point in this movement where the new property will be owned, will be completely available to occupy and be active in. That's the point. Now, there are new things. There's moving expenses. There are there are two fundamental things which are going to be needed, and they should be handled before moving in because they involve some construction that will make it difficult to live in the middle of. Now, these two things are an elevator. The house is already structured for the elevator, but the carriage needs to be installed. The carriage costs approximately $20,000. In addition, the other thing that needs to be installed is a backup generator, which will allow for uninterrupted electrical service, in an area where there are frequent outages in the winter. Now, Pissant Little Paul's mind says, nobody's going to hear that and honor it or feel that it's justified. Hell, that's what he would say. Hell. Other people live in apartment buildings with no elevators on the third floor and go up and down, carry their groceries. But you know what? That's Pissant Little Paul's mind thinking. That's not Paul saying, Father, what is the truth here? What is your plan in this instance? But tonight he's asked, and he's hearing, and you're hearing, that the Father's plan is for this building to have an elevator in it that not only Paul and Susan can use, but also people attending gatherings who may find it difficult to negotiate three flights of stairs. It is the plan for this building. It is the plan for the activity that will be going on there, the activities. And whether Paul thinks it's justifiable, and whether Paul thinks other people will find it justifiable, is irrelevant, because anyone who finds it unjustifiable is engaging in their own pissant, poverty-stricken thinking. Instead of saying, Father, what is the truth here, and listening for the answer, and hearing that it is appropriate, and relaxing about it, and being able to stand in support of it, and thereby reflect God. Does that mean that if you do that, you're going to send in a contribution? No, this has nothing to do with control. This has to do with understanding the movement, and also understanding the movements that you find yourself engaged in as part of your fulfillments that the Father is revealing to you as his plans for you, and which require you to perhaps be bold and persevere for wholeness, not just half a healing, not just half a fulfillment, whether it meets your expectations or your limitations or others. And so I'm here to keep things clear and to keep things on target, because this is a fulfillment of the Father's plan, if I may put it that way. This new location, the elevator, the generator, changes that need to be made in the building, shelving, and the things for the work that needs to be done, the arrangements for the broadcasting, and so on and so forth. Whenever you move into a new place, there are things to be done. You know what? Divine love meets the human need. Divine love reveals God's plan. And where is his plan going to show up if it isn't right in the middle of where you are, which is right in the middle of the kingdom of heaven? And so you can rest assured that as you listen to know what the truth is here and here and here, it's going to be relevant. It's going to be relevant to needs met. It's going to be relevant to elevators or shelves or generators or sprinkler heads or whatever. What is thy father's plan for his beloved son? Well, his plan for his beloved son is for his beloved son to see the kingdom of heaven, where he's misperceiving the kingdom of heaven and calling it a material world and universe. Now, we are, you might say, at the beginning of stage two. Is there a stage three and four? No. But we're at the beginning of stage two, the completion of the move and the fulfillment of all of the aspects of the move. And now is the time when expenses will begin. Not the large overall expense that it took for the house, for the property, but moving expenses, equipment expenses, hiring people to help, and so on. All practical aspects of and evidence of love, meeting the need. These expenses are beginning now. And I am inviting your support. Why am I inviting your support? Because you're listening to me. Because you're asking to know the truth. And you're listening to me as I share it. And you're finding it of value. Many of you finding it of extreme value. And what you find of extreme value, it behooves you to share with others. It behooves you to do what makes it possible for it to be shared with others. When you hear good news, you don't want to keep it a secret. You want to share it. You want to feel the camaraderie of others with you knowing the truth and experiencing movement to wholeness, if I may put it that way, or the instantaneous experience of it. And so I'm asking for support from those who find it of value and who are willing to do what it takes to extend it, to make it more available to others. It's that simple. You see, knowing the truth is extremely practical. But even more than your knowing that divine love meets the human need, you need to know the fundamental point that I'm sharing tonight, which is that you need to follow through to wholeness. Don't accept half a miracle. Don't accept half a healing. Be grateful for it. But just because it's an awesome change in your experience doesn't justify postponing the rest of it. It justifies your continuing to press for the experience of the complete healing. Sometimes that means that you have to press against your own resistance to it. Oh, I couldn't take it. It would be too much for me to bear. Bullshit. That's just an excuse. That's just an excuse for not yielding up the last bit of willfulness that it takes to resist God's plan for you, to resist the sudden shift of perception called a miracle, in which your right mind registers with you as your clarity and constitutes the means of awakening. You know what? Not only do you need to want the ultimate for yourself, not only do you need to want the experience of wholeness for yourself, you need to want it for your fellow man. You can't have it privately. What you give, you get to keep. We've said it over and over. So, I invite everyone to do the one essential thing, the two-step, and ask, Father, what's the truth here? What's the truth relative to me and what Raj is talking about tonight? Regarding the new property and what's needed there, and regarding the needs I have in my life, that he's telling me I need to press for the experience of the completion of. And you know what? Don't abandon the questioning and the listening too quickly. The key is in persisting. Because the longer you're saying, Father, what is your will? Father, what is your plan for me? The longer you're not saying, I want it my way. You see? And the longer you go without saying that, the more fluidly and easily you will shift. The more you will provide the environment in which the sudden shift of perception can occur. I love you all. And this is great learning. Every connection you have with the Holy Spirit or with your guide will strengthen the divine one that you are, and simply dissolve the pissant, poverty-stricken orphan that you've thought you were. That's it in a nutshell. And I look forward to being with you next week.